Now, if you like to warble in the shower or in the bath, then you probably don't realise that you're actually taking a very close step back to the origins of where your singing talent came from in the first place, and that's namely fish. This is according to a team of neuroscientists from Cornell University in the States, led by Andrew Bass, and they've discovered that...
Andrew Bass?
Oh, Kat, I thought I'd get away with that.
Andrew Bass, the fish researcher.
Hey, my name's Helen Scales and I'm a marine biologist, so what can you say? Anyway... This Andrew Bass, Professor Bass, has discovered that vertebrate brains may have been wired up for making sounds for an awfully long time, in fact for hundreds of millions of years, since the time before vertebrates hauled themselves out onto dry land. Now the team studied the brain development of a lovely type of fish that lives along the seabed in the Pacific coast of North America, and it's called the midshipman, or I think rather wonderfully, the humming toadfish, which is nice, and the reason they're called that is because the male humming toadfish spend long hours lovingly humming away, serenading the females, trying to persuade them to lay their eggs where they look after them in nests. So what they did was they basically injected fluorescent dyes into the growing brain cells of these toadfish larvae, the young babies of these fish, and watched them under microscopes as clusters of cells formed connections and started growing into the neural networks that control the fish's vocalisation. And by looking at the equivalent parts of the brain, the team discovered remarkable similarity in the neural circuits controlling similar sound making in amphibians, in birds, and also in mammals, including in primates, which really bolsters the idea, which was actually first put forward by Charles Darwin himself a long time ago. He had this thought, but couldn't prove it at all, but that really the ability to make and control sounds evolved a very, very long time ago in vertebrates, you know, when they were still swimming around in the sea.
I remember you talking on this show about 5 years ago, Helen, 4 years ago, about herrings communicating by blowing bubbles out of their cloaca.
Yes, that's right.
And fast repetitive ticks, also known as farts.
That's right.
And they use this as a means of communication.
Absolutely.
So it's obviously got a number of ways they have of communicating.
Different ways of communicating, but it's that idea of being able to make sounds.
I think I know some men that communicate in that way anyway.